We're going to start with the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Help us to glorify you today by carrying your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Couple things. Yesterday I did a podcast at home on the spiritual checklist. And if anybody wants some more, I've got some. It's on the site for those who are listening. That talk will be out before you listen to this one. And on the St. Francis prayer, and Scott made the card. I gave you credit yesterday. And I think Patty's probably printed 1,000 of them. Can't imagine how many through the years. I also did one on alcoholism, a disease of perception. I was on a roll, recorded about 25 minutes, and then somebody called me, and then it shuts off the recorder. So then when I went to do the second part, I couldn't remember where I was. So if any of you didn't like it, don't tell me. But I thought it was good information. Because it is a disease of perception. We see things wrong, and we react on what we think we see, and then we drink or use to escape what happens and how we feel when we don't like what we see. I think that made sense. Today, it's Saturday, July 16th, 2022. I'm going to start the big book over. Well, we have a Saturday meeting for those listening on the podcast, and I used to do Sunday night, but I stopped doing that after COVID. And then we have a Wednesday night meeting. We just finished Tawai's. We're going to start the family afterwards. And we're going to start from the cover today. I don't know how many times I've gone through the big book since we started in September 2008. We were at three different parts of the book for a while when I started recording, and I don't know. You can find anything you want on the site. There are tags. And we're going to start. This book was published in 1939. It's not called the Big Book, if you notice. It has a name. It's Alcoholics Anonymous. And the group in Cleveland took its name from the book. The book came first. There were three groups, a small group in Cleveland, Ohio, with Clarence Snyder, a group in Akron, and a group in New York. And this was published in 1939. And the idea for the book came in late 1937 when Dr. Bob and Bill W. were sitting in Dr. Bob's kitchen in Akron, Ohio, and they said, you know, we've got about 50 people sober. There's something going on, and we should write a book. Now, Bill initially wanted to have missionaries and hospitals and this other stuff, but eventually they calmed him down. His intentions were good, and they said, let's write the book. And they took a vote, and the decision to write the book passed by one vote. At least that's the AA legend. I don't know if it's actually true. And so they decided to write a book in 1938. It was published in early 1939. There's a whole, you could go on and on about all the machinations that went into actually getting it published. But simply they got some money. Bill W. wrote his story, and he wrote There Is a Solution. And he submitted that to a publisher and got some money. And then eventually they started a works publishing company. Get it? From Faith Without Works Is Dead. And works publishing company, and it had a box in New York City. And they, when they had the, you can get the copy of the a manuscript that was submitted to the publisher. I've got it in my trunk, and it costs about, I don't know, $80 or $90 or something. and you can get it, and it has the original typing and the corrections, the final corrections that they did before it went to the publisher. It has some of Bill's story in his original handwriting. It's very interesting how they would make changes, and they have HP initials at the bottom of each page, Hank Parkhurst, and that meant that, and they had it reviewed by several members of the clergy. They had the Catholic Church, our cardinal, review it to see if it was acceptable. They had a couple medical people make suggestions, and then, of course, the group itself. The literature that was used to put this together is, they took it from Scripture, Sermon on the Mount, Book of James, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. They read Scripture in the beginning. I don't know if that's, when somebody says it's AA-approved literature, ask them what AA non-approved literature is. You get it? And so we have this thing you hear at meetings, well, it's not AA-approved. Well, that just means that AA could sell it and can get the profits from it. And that has become misinterpreted through the years, that you can't read non-AA-approved literature. But they read the Bible at the first meetings, and they had quiet time, and they studied Scripture. And that's the basis. The Oxford group had six steps. That was a Christian group of Christians trying to grow in their sanctification. They were all believers, but they wanted to grow in the character of God. And so that's what we're really trying to do in AA, is get rid of our character defects from self-centeredness and grow in the image and likeness of our Creator and practice His character, not ours. And they had six steps, and they had a lot of literature for sinners only. They had several books. I did a talk on it. You can find it on the site on the books that were used to write the big book. It's credited to Bill W., but a lot of people had a hand in it. We did some of the 12 and 12. If you read the 12 and 12 and then you read Bill's story, you could see it's an entirely different style, almost as if it's two different people writing it. It's not good or bad, but he was 15 years sober when he wrote the 12 and 12. This was written, I believe, with God inspiration. And we'll see it when we start to look at it today. When they published it, it was this big red book. And they wanted it big, because Bill W. was a salesman, you know. They charged more. The most popular book was Gone with the Wind. We have some younger people here, but that was like the most famous movie of the 30s and 40s. It was based on Margaret Mitchell's book, Gone with the Wind. And that book cost $3, I think, at 25 cents. They charged $3.50 for this. Now, Margaret Mitchell's book was selling a lot. They sent cards about getting the book to physicians' offices in the United States. And Joe and Charlie make the joke, and I don't know if any of this is true, that the only replies they got were from wives of alcoholic doctors requesting a copy of the book. The book, the sales were very slow until 1940. There was an article published, I believe, in the Saturday Evening Post, and it changed the way people saw AA. A guy was an investigative reporter, the Saturday Evening Post. Everybody read in those days. They didn't have TV and all that. They had radio, but everybody read the Saturday Evening Post. They sent their best investigative reporter to study the cult that was AA, and he wrote a really favorable article, and then the sales went up, and then they had dinner with John Rockefeller, who was the wealthiest man in the world in New York. He was I believe, a prohibitionist, and they had dinner with him, and they brought 10 AA members, and it was his friends. They were all very wealthy. Bill thought they would get a lot of money from it. Rockefeller said, money will ruin this. he gave him $1,000 or something, and but he was very positive about it. It was highly publicized, and then they got more sales, and then it was off, and it was like it started with 50, 60 people, and we have, what, 20-some people here today, so think about it. And so on the cover of this original book, it says, Alcoholics Anonymous, the story of how more than 100 men have recovered from alcoholism. They weren't in recovery or recovering. They said they had recovered. Now, I just did a podcast, and I did that one at home as well, on recovered alcoholic. And you might want to listen to that if you're new to the podcast or meetings. But recovered meant that they no longer lived under the obsession to drink. They had some power in their lives so that they didn't have to fight that obsession. Now, that doesn't mean they were cured, and it doesn't mean the obsession could come back. But they had found a way of living where they weren't constantly battling the need to drink. Now, I think 100 is an exaggeration. Do alcoholics exaggerate? Yeah, we're exaggerators. There's a quote. There's some quotes. An illness of this sort, we've come to believe it, an illness involves those about us in a way no other human sickness can. It says, if anybody who is showing inability to control his drinking can do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to him. Heaven knows we tried long enough and hard enough to drink like other people. And then they say, we have not sworn off, instead the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor afraid. This is our experience. And then in the book it says, this is how we react as long as we're in fit spiritual condition. So recovered relates to your spiritual condition. We are careful never to show hatred or intolerance of drinking as an institution. Experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. Every new alcoholic looks for this spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch burners. So that's some quotes from the back. This is the original cover. Then on the inner flap it says, I think this is from page 19 in the big book, or 29, I can't remember. The page numbers are different. In the original, Doctor's Opinion started with page 1. But then somebody in 1955 decided that they couldn't start the book with Doctor's Opinion in page 1. It had to be Roman numerals. Now, why they did that, I don't know. Charlie say it's because they didn't want anybody who was not an alcoholic writing in numerical pages. Does it sound like a group of alcoholics that they would get together and come up with some complete nonsense like that? And that's why some people won't read Doctor's Opinion, because it's not page 1. Of course, Doctor's Opinion tells us what's wrong with us. If we didn't have the doctor's opinion, we wouldn't be here today. We're going to start with that in a few minutes. I probably won't get there today. I'm babbling a lot. It says, those of us who live in large cities are overcome by the reflection that close by hundreds are dropping into oblivion every day. And they said, many could recover if they had the opportunities we have enjoyed. How then shall we present that which has been so freely given us? We have concluded to publish an anonymous volume. That's why this book was written. There was no hope for us before this book. It says this book may be ordered on a free examination basis, said 350. Examined for 7 days, and if not satisfied that the book will be helpful, money will be refunded. Boy, if we did that to every new person we gave the book to, and I didn't read it, how many books have we given away? Hundreds. But we don't know that it's not sitting somewhere and they're not going to pick it up one day. You never know when you work with somebody. I worked with somebody last Friday and he fired me on Sunday. And that's okay, but you don't know the effect that it'll have 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now. And so don't give up. Now, if you go to the name Alcoholics Anonymous, legend has that they had a guy come who was a very prominent publisher of one of the prominent magazines in those days, and he had kind of a wet brain, and he came to one of the meetings in New York, and he said, "Call it Anonymous Alcoholics." Now, they were going to call it The Way Out, but there was too many way outs that already had copyright. So they changed it to Alcoholics Anonymous, and then in our tradition it says it's the spiritual basis, because they didn't want anybody's name to be associated with it as representing AA. And that's all it means to be anonymous, an anonymous member of Alcoholics Anonymous, if I don't call the Topeka Capital Journal and say I speak for AA. Or CNN, you don't see anybody on CNN who are AA experts. In fact, you don't hear AA mentioned on the news or anything. And that's really says something about the program. You don't see paparazzi photographers outside the Beverly Hills AA meeting taking people's picture. Think about it. AA is respected because we have no opinions. And we have really some suggestions, but we have the handout for anybody who needs help. And so people are respected who go to AA. A lot of people are afraid to come to AA because, you know, they're big shots and they're, you know, legends in their own mind, and God forbid anybody should find out they're an alcoholic. Of course, most people probably know. But the bottom line is, I've never heard anybody that's been talked bad about who went to AA. Never. And if patients knew I went to AA, didn't bother them, they didn't care. I think they were all glad I was going. In fact, some of them had me call their brothers and their sisters or their mothers and fathers. I've worked with several people that I've met through when I worked. And now there's a blank page at the beginning of the book. Now, of course, I wrote something in here. Now, why is this page blank? It's very important. You know why it's blank? So you leave behind everything you think you know when you open it. That you be open-minded, willing, and be willing to be honest. That you have no, don't bring any of your old ideas into this. Now that's very hard if you're new. But what they're, and I don't know if they left a blank for that reason, but I heard somebody say that years ago and I really liked it. And it makes sense, doesn't it? We want to be open, to whatever they're going to say. Then the next page says Alcoholics Anonymous. Remember Depressed Radio and Films. Of course, we have Facebook AA groups and announcements now, and you know, people post on there and who knows. But the confidentially is the members shouldn't be anonymous to each other. Like I've heard somebody say, well, Sam Jones was here. Oh. I disclosed his anonymity. That's not what we're talking about. In fact, there are people that I'd like to tell them that we started the meetings again who used to come regularly. Remember Robert? I don't know Robert's last name. I don't have his phone number. I had no way of getting a hold of him. We had people like that I thought about, but I don't know their last names. Now, in the original meetings, they all said their last names. A lot of them didn't have phones in the 1930s. It was a different world, but they all had their last names, and they all lived in the neighborhood. These were neighborhood meetings. They were small. There were not many people in the beginning. And they only had one meeting a week, but they talked all the time. They met, they prayed, they shared what they meditated on. It was a whole different world, a whole different program. The AA in the beginning was the book. It was the 12 steps, it was this. I went to a discussion meeting yesterday and it wasn't good or bad, it was just, we've gotten so far away from this and the book, being AA. And so I told you the groups derive their name from the book, but I think the book has gotten lost. And in fact, the fourth part of To Wives, I wrote, where has the big book gone? Because they talk about how you use the book, the wife would use the book with her alcoholic husband, give him the book, ask him if he wants to read it. If he's interested, read it. You read it yourself. And then that was the key. And so it says, Alcoholics Anonymous, the story of how more than 100 men have recovered from alcoholism. Now we have several women here, and I think there are women alcoholics, I believe there are. And they had one woman come in after the book had already gone to publication, Marty Mann, and she was very well respected and actually became part of the National Council for Alcoholism Treatment at one time. She was on that committee or the head of it. And of course, it was a different world then, but women were drinking then too. And so, and it's the story. A story is an account of past events in someone's life and the evolution of something. And it's really the testimony. It's their story, their testimony. Now we have an Old Testament. Anybody ever heard of that? New Testament. This is AA's testament, and I believe that this is kind of, I'm not saying it's a third Bible, but it takes the principles that are in scriptures and it puts them down into a way of living and a way to practice those principles. A man who's not here today, and he always used to say, the big book tells me how to be, and the big book tells me how to do that, how to be that. I think there's a lot of truth in that. I've been studying a lot of scripture and listening and reading, and there's a lot of instructions in the New Testament on how we should be, but it doesn't tell us how to do that. And this book is designed for people to grow in the image of God and practice His character, which is the right-hand side of the card. And then you could say, do you have a better testimony or story than this? The topic yesterday at the discussion was, how do you recover? Are there other ways to recover? And I heard a lot of interesting things. But all I know is that this works. This is a plan that works. And it's a plan that works if you work it. And it's not those who want it, it's for those who do it. And so you can have what they have if you do what they did. And this is a book of specific directions, which we're going to read in a second. Now, if you have a better plan and it works, write a book. But we have treatment today. They didn't have treatment in those days. They didn't have intensive outpatient therapy. We have that. We have counselors. People go to school to study and all that. But I remember the speaker said that he told his sponsor that he'd been to treatment 30 times. So the sponsor said, good, you spent $500,000 for a big book. See, the big book has gotten lost. Everything you need to recover, I believe, is in this book. And you need someone to go through it with you because it's hard. I went to meetings for several years here in Topeka and had no idea what the big book, I'd read it, but nobody talked about it. We had discussion meetings. We had no big book meeting start here. And then I started a big book study in my house. And then we read it and we'd say, good stuff, you know? And we'd read like all of how it works at one meeting, you know? And then we'd say, good. And I didn't understand it. Then after I started listening to Joe and Charlie, and then when Curtis died, I decided that I would try to learn how to teach this and exposit it so that you could do this and not die. That was my goal. It wasn't about Michael. It had nothing to do with me. It's what I could do to make something good out of something very horrible in my life. And it's been good for me. It's helped me. I'm still sober. Now the contents of the big book, if you turn to the contents, it says, when the original one, forward, doctor's opinion is page one. And we're going to start with that, and we'll start that in a few minutes. The doctor's opinion is the problem. If you don't know what makes you an alcoholic and what's wrong with you, how can you get help? You can't take the first step if you don't understand what your problem is and what makes you an alcoholic. then Bill's story is very powerful. Every time we study it, I get more out of it. You all agree? It was someone who had a hopeless condition of mind and body. It's very clear. And he describes his alcoholism before he drank, his personality disorder, then how drinking became a power in his life that he could not avoid and could not overcome. And now he was completely defeated. And when he was completely defeated, there was no AA. And he went to the doctor, told him what was wrong with him, allergy of the body, obsession of the mind. And he understood that. So he said self-knowledge would fix it. Well, that didn't help. He got drunk. Because you can't treat a sick mind with a sick mind. The only person who can treat the sick mind is God. And I have to see that it's sick and be willing to face it, be rid of the things that are blocking me from God. And then he said fear gripped him. So that was going to keep him sober. That lasted, I think, a day or two. He took Salomos. Anybody do that? And then he was dying and sitting in his kitchen table in 1934, November, right after Armistice Day. And someone came to see him who had been to the Oxford group. And this person's name was Ebby Thatcher. And Ebby, he had never seen Ebby sober. And Ebby had gotten rescued by Roland Hazard, who you will read about in There Is a Solution, who went to Dr. Young. And Dr. Young told him he needed a spiritual experience, a change in his whole personality. He went back to New York from Switzerland. He went to the Oxford groups at the Episcopal Church with Reverend Shoemaker. And I'm not going to go into how Reverend Shoemaker started the Oxford group in New York. And they had six steps. And Roland was sober, and they rescued with Seabrook Graves. His dad was the judge in Vermont who was going to lock up Ebby Thatcher for shooting up the neighborhood and driving into somebody's living room. And Ebby then was sent, they took him to New York, he worked the steps. At 60 days, they said, you have to witness. That was their last step. You have to witness. So he said, I know the guy, and God sent him the Bill W. And then we'll read about how Bill argued with him about God while he's dying. And then Bill eventually changed his ideas. He worked the steps. And then immediately he decided, how could he help other people? Then he was sober 6 months, hadn't gotten anybody sober when he met Dr. Bob in May in Akron, Ohio, and we're here today in 1935. Now tell me that isn't the hand of God. It's when you think about it. And we're here today, and I wouldn't be alive today. And then There's the Solution is the problem and the solution. More about alcoholism. They put this chapter in. A lot of people don't read it. They don't want to know any more about alcoholism. But the thing is, it tells us why we're doomed, because we have this queer mental twist right before we drink. And we can't see the truth about alcohol. Anybody have that? And we can only see what it's going to do for us, not to us. And if you're a real alcoholic and you have that, you're screwed. I heard somebody last week, they didn't want to like God. They thought God was an asshole. I laughed. He said he may not be the only one. And he didn't want to hear about God. I said, well, then you're screwed. You know, but what makes you willing to hear about God? He wasn't defeated yet. He wasn't done. When you're done, you're willing to go to any length. And then it tells us about that. It ends, it says, there's no defense against human power. Then we agnostics is one of the most powerful spiritual writings ever done that wasn't scripture. And it's about God and how we start with belief and where God is, and then how it works is steps 3 and 4, and the 12 steps. Into action is 5 through 11, working with others is step 12. To wives is the relationship before recovery between the alcoholic and the wife. The family afterwards is relationship after the alcoholic's tried to recover. And I just saw that yesterday, actually. It makes sense. And then to employers is your relationship at work. And then a vision for you is my relationship with the world, how they saw things. And that's the big book. I think I've babbled long enough, haven't I?
Pretty good.
But I'm not going to stop, of course. I'm just going to read the foreword. Now, in the original, stop it. In the original edition, there's only one foreword. I don't know why they had to add new forewords. But I just read the first two lines. It says, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women," they added women, they were able to do that, "who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body." Now look at the power of that statement. They had recovered. They had found or regained possession of their return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength. That's recovered. And seemingly is according to the facts as one knows them. So it's a seemingly hopeless condition, but it wasn't. You know why? Because it said they have recovered. And then here it's in big print. You can't see it from back there. I'll hold it up anyway. Big print, not even squiggly writing, to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. And that's why we study it, and that's why we're going to go through it, and I'm still going through it today. I try to live it. All right, we'll stop with that. I hope that was a good beginning to our study of the big book.